We're holding on Dalet Omer Aleph top line. We learned yesterday that we have two different opinions how we know that this that we said in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol needs prisha, needs to be separated from his wife and from his house and sequestered in a chamber in the Beis Hamikdash for 7 days before Yom Kippur is we had Rabbi Yochanan saying that we learn it from a pasuk about the Miluim, and that since the pasuk says Lasos Lachaper, then it means not only by the Miluim, but also before the Avodah of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to do that. And then we had Rish Lakish saying that instead we learn it from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had 6 days where he was covered by the cloud at the beginning of the 40 days when he went up to receive the Torah. We had a third opinion as well. We had Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and we had Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, that not only do we learn Yom Kippur, the Prisha of Yom Kippur, from the Pasuk of Atamiloim, but even the Prisha before the Parah Adruma also we learn from that. Rabbi Yochanan himself holds that, no, the Yom Kippur, yes, we learn from that, but Parah Adruma is only Maila Ba'alma, it's only one of those Chumras regarding the Parah Adruma that the Chachamim made. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rabbi Yochanan l'Rish Lakish, b'shleim l'didi diafinim miluim." You can understand well, according to me, that I learn from miluim. Heinu d'tanya, and heinu d'tanya. Then this is why it says in a brisa regarding the koyin is preparing for the parah aduma. Now, fine, Rabbi Yochanan again is not saying that. Is not saying that all the details of the prisha for the parah aduma are learned from the miluim. He's saying that, in fact, the fact that you have prisha itself is maybe only a mila ba'alma. But he's saying at least that the basic idea that there is such a thing as there is such a thing as hafrasha during those prisha during those 7 days, and that we learn in some way from the miluim. So heinu d'tanya, then this explains what it says in a brisa about the Kohen Gadol before. Actually both of them. The fact is, we see that definitely for Yom Kippur, he learns from the Miluim, and the Braisa says, Zevazeh, both the Kohen who's getting prepared for Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen who's getting prepared for the Parah Adruma, Mazinol of Kol Shivam, Mikol Chatois, Shor Yashom. They would sprinkle on him throughout the 7 days of Prisha from all the Chatois, all the Parah Adrumas that were there. So Rashi explains that every time they made a Parah Adruma, they stored some of the ashes away in the Chayil. Rashi on the Pasuk explains it a little bit differently, that they put some on the Harazesim, whatever it is. The point is that every day of the 7 days, they'd sprinkle on him from one of those Paras Adumas. Some of the Foshim explain it to mean that every day they would use a different one. Altogether, there were 9 Paras Adumas from Moshe Rabbeinu until Churban Bayis Sheni, and the Rambam says the 10th one will be prepared when Mashiach comes, Shem Beheiro Yemeinu Amin. So therefore, each day they would use from a different one. Other Mefarshim say, no, that's not what it means. Rashi himself brings a second explanation that the ashes of Moshe's Parah continued to exist throughout the generation. So therefore, they could always use that. And some of the Mefarshim say that what Rashi means by that is then that every day they would mix some of the ashes of Moshe's Parah with the ashes of the most recent Parah, and then they would sprinkle on him. Yet another possibility is maybe that they would mix the ashes of all of them together and sprinkle on him. Whatever the case, the point is the fact that you're saying that there needs to be sprinkling on him every day of those days of Prisha. Now, you can understand, if you're going to say at least the Prisha of Yom Kippur, you're learning from the Miluim, then we say, Dahavoy Nami Hazah b'Miluim. Very well. Well, we know that there was Hazah during the Miluim because the Pasuk says that every day of the first 7 days of Miluim, it says that Moshe took a mixture of blood from the Karbonas and Shemen HaMishcha and sprinkled it on Aaron and his sons and so forth. So there was Hazah, Davoy Nami Hazah b'Miluim. So during the Miluim, there was also Hazah. So therefore, we can understand, according to me, then why there also has to be Hazah before Yom Kippur. Fine, you can argue that maybe when it comes to the Parah Adruma, it's only Mishum Maila. But at least by Yom Kippur, where I'm saying that you learn from the Miluim, there you see another point of similarity between them, that both of them Hazah is being done. Although, of course, as the Gemara is going to point out, it's a different kind of Hazah, but still. El l'didach, but according to you, Rish Tuakish, the Yalfas Misinai, you're learning the fact that the Kohen Gadol needs Prisha before Yom Kippur. You're learning it from the fact that Moshe had Prisha before he went up to Har Sinai. Hazah b'Sinai mihavoi. Was there Hazah when it comes to Sinai? Now, there was actually, Tosfos points out, that the psukim at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, that give more details about what happened in the couple of days before Matan Torah, it does mention that Moshe brought korbanos on behalf of the Jewish people, and then it says Moshe took the blood, vayizrik ala'am, and he threw it on the people. So on the face of it, you see that there was zrik over there. So Tosfos answers that zrika wasn't meant for Tara, otherwise it would have been on Moshe himself. Instead, it was on the Jewish people collectively, so therefore it wasn't necessarily for this kind of tatter that we're talking about to get ready to go into Machne Shechina. There are a couple of other answers. Another answer is that the Hazar over there, actually Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, based on Targum Onkelos, it doesn't necessarily mean that he sprinkled the blood on the people. What it can mean is he sprinkled the blood on the Mizbeach that he built to be Mechaper for the people. So in that case, there's definitely no Hazar on the people. So he's asking Rosh Lakish, then where do you get the idea of Hazar? Now, obviously, fine, you could say by the Parah Adumah that it's one of the Milas. But here, when it comes to Yom Kippur, you don't need a Mila, particularly, and the Chachamim are not just going to come up with it out of the blue. There has to be some source for it. Where is their source? Amarle, so Rosh Lakish answers Rav Yechanan, v'litai meich minicha, nu, and according to your Svara, is it any easier to understand? B'miluim dam hachamayim. After all, it's even according to you, it's not the same by the miluim as it is in future generations. In the miluim, Moshe sprinkled blood on Aaron and his sons, and now we're saying we're sprinkling water, parah adumah, so it's a different thing anyhow. So the verse is like kasha. That's not a big question. The Tony Rabchia nichnasu mayim pachas dam. There's a brisa from Rabchia, which we're going to read the brisa in full further down on the Amud. That water goes in instead of blood. In other words, yeah, the sprinkling of blood that took place during those days of miluim, during the first 7 days, is the equivalent of sprinkling water with parah adumah that comes later. In fact, one reason for that is because the first Parah Adumah was only prepared on Beis Nissen. On Rosh Chodesh Nissen, Hashem told Moshe a bunch of mitzvahs. This is Rosh Chodesh Nissen, almost a year after Yitzias Mitzrayim, the day that they set up the Mishkan for the first time permanently, and the day that Aaron and his sons actually started officiating as Kohenim in it. So on that day, the Gemara tells us in Gittin, Hashem told Moshe Shmona Parshias, one of them being the Parsha of Parah Adumah, and then the next day, Beis Nissen, is when they prepared the first one. So now, after that then they're able to use water or parah adumah instead of blood. Up until that point, the 8 days of the miluim, they didn't have a parah adumah yet, so they had to use blood. So that's not a big question, the fact that you have one instead of the other. But still, so therefore, Rabbi Yechanan says, according to me, there's no real problem. Elo lidach, but according to you, Rish Lakish, Hazar b'sinai mihavoi, I'm asking you again, was there Hazar on Har Sinai that you're saying we should learn from that to the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur and to the Kohen before the parah adumah? And again, Amalei Maila Ba'alma, and Rosh Lakish says again, I would say that the Miluim is just a Maila Ba'alma. In the case of the Parah Adumah, as we said, because we have so many other Chumras in connection with the Parah Adumah, so that people don't get careless with the Tumah V'Tara of it. And in the case of Yom Kippur, it looked covered that he's going to be going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so we add an extra thing and have him do Azar. But not that there has to be a source in the Pasuk for that particular thing. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavaseh, Rabbi Yechanan, Tanya Kavaseh, Rish Lakish. As a matter of fact, we have Braises supporting both Rabbi Yechanan's and Rish Lakish's understanding of things. Rabbi Yechanan, that we learn the Prisha of Yom Kippur from Kasha Osabayim Azeh, from the Miluim, and Rish Lakish's, that we learn it from what happened to Moshe before he went up to Har Sinai. So, Tanya Kavaseh, Rabbi Yechanan, the Braise that we learn like Rabbi Yechanan is as follows, a long Braise, it's going to take up most of the Amud. The Pasuk says, Bizois Yavai Aaron al Kodesh, with this Aaron should come to the Kodesh. Now, what does that mean? The word Bizois is extra. Yavai Aaron al Kodesh, Fab and Bakr. So what does the Bizois mean? It means Masha Oma Be'inyan. It means that he has to go, when he's preparing to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he has to go in using the same preparations as there was that was said b'inyan, that was said in that context. Maihi, what does that mean? B'inyan de miluim, namely the context of the miluim. Now, where do you have the miluim are in Parshas Tzav and Shmini? The avoda of Yom Kippur is in Achrimos. They're nowhere near each other. So, what do we mean ha'omah b'inyan? Tosfos Yeshtanim brings from the Yerushalmi that. We think of it. How does the parasha of Yom Kippur begin? It says, "Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Achre Moshe Shnei Bnei Aaron," after the deaths of Nadav and Avihu. And when did that take place? On the eighth day of the Miluim. So therefore, there is actually a thematic connection between the Miluim and the Avodah of Yom Kippur, that the Pasuk dates when was the mitzvah of the Avodah of Yom Kippur given right after, on the day of the Miluim. And in fact, that Gemara in Gittin that I referred to before says that of the eight parashias that were taught that day, one of them is this parasha of the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So that's what it means. In other words, that what was done by the Miluim needs to also be done before the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah of Yom Kippur. And the Braisa continues, Ma Omer B'Inyan de Miluim. So what is there that was said in connection with the Miluim that we have to replicate every year before Yom Kippur? First of all, Aaron Pida Shivo V'Shimesh Yemechad. Aaron had 7 days of Prisha, because again, the Pasuk says that Aaron and his sons in that case, okay, because all of them are for the first time becoming Kohenim. So they had to stay for 7 days at Pesach Oyomoyed, and then he served as Kohen Gadol and doing the special Avodah for 1 day, meaning only that day did it have to be that, as we said yesterday, that the Kohen Gadol did all the Avodah. After that, the other Kohenim could do it as well. And another similar, so the same way, it's going to be by Yom Kippur. And another similarity, Moshe Moshe like Hoshiva, also during those 7 days, Moshe is teaching him what he needs to do in order to train him in the Avodah. So therefore, continues the Braisa of Afla Doris, so also in future generations. Kohen Gadol Poresh Shiva Meshamesh Yemechad, the Kohen Gadol has to separate from his house for 7 days and stay in the Beis HaMikdash, and he serves then for the 1 day of Yom Kippur. And who stands in for Moshe Rabbeinu? Ushnei Tamar Chachamim Mitalmidov Shal Moshe, two Tamar Chachamim from the Talmidim of Moshe, which the Gemara interjects into the Braisa. That means La'apoki Tzdukin, meaning, in other words, we want real Tamar Chachamim, not Tzdukim, because, as we're going to learn later in the Masechta, the Tzdukim had their own idea about a particular detail of the Avodah of Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with Keturis. The Tzdukim held that the Keturis should be set on fire before he enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that when he enters, there's already a cloud of smoke coming up. And the Chachamim said, no, absolutely not. That's not what it means. And they explained, based on drashas from the Pesukim, that no, what it means is that he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the unlit Kodesh, then he lights it up while he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We're going to learn the details of it. We're going to learn the details of this later in this Perek, and then more in detail on Dafnum Gimel. Now, two Tamar Chachamim who follow Moshe's teachings, meaning not the Tzdukim, who go and change them however they feel like it, they, like Kol Shiva, they give over to him, they teach him the Avodah throughout the 7 days, as we're going to learn towards the end of the Perek, in order to train him in the Avodah. Interesting point. Why do you need two Tamar Chachamim if by Aaron you only needed Moshe? So Tosfos Yeshanim here brings a reason that based on the expression in the Pasuk in Kehelos is Tovim Hashnayim Min Ha'Echad. Two are better than one. So therefore, there you had no choice. It's only Moshe because he's the one that Hashem gave the mitzvahs through. But now in future generations, you have many Tamar Chachamim from Moshe's descendant, from Moshe's Talmidim. Therefore, you can have two. Tosfos HaRosh gives a different reason. What happens if the Kohen Gadol does do things the wrong way, the way that Tzedukim do? Then you can have these two Tamar Chachamim can be Edim, that we taught him the right thing, and he went and changed it deliberately. That way he can't get away with claiming, I didn't know, they didn't teach me that particular detail. So they train him throughout the 7 days in order to train him in the Avodah. Because remember, first of all, the Avodah of Yom Kippur is very complicated, so the Kohen Gadol is not necessarily going to know and remember all the details. But second of all, even just the regular Avodah of Korbanos, the Kohen Gadol doesn't necessarily do the Avodah throughout the rest of the year. He could, as we're going to learn later in the Perek, but he doesn't necessarily have to. So now, during the 7 days before Yom Kippur, then they train him in what he needs to do. So the continues the Braisa, Mikan Amru, based on this, the Chachamim said, so you see, in other words, that this Braisa supports what Rav Yechon is saying, that from the Miluim, we learn to Yom Kippur. So from this, the Chachamim said, Shivas Yomim Kodim Yom Kippurim, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mbeis to Lishkas Bahedrin. For 7 days before Yom Kippur, we separate the Kohen Gadol from his house and put him in Lishkas Bahedrin. Ochshtem Shemafrishin Kohen Gadol, and continues the Braisa, just like we separate the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, Kach Mafrishin Kohen Asodos Apor Lishka Shal Pnei Abir. So also we sequester the Kohen who's going to be burning the Parah Adumah, and we put him in a Lishka that's on the northeast side in front of the Bira, which we learned at the very beginning of the Masechta, a Machlokes Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, whether Bira means a specific area within the Beis HaMikdash or whether it means the whole Beis HaMikdash complex. Anyway, the echad zev echad zeh, and continues the Braisa, which we learned at the top of the Amud, this excerpt of it. Both this one and that one, both the Kohen Gadol was preparing for Yom Kippur, and the Kohen was preparing for the Parah Adumah. Mazin olav kol shiva mikol hatoris shoyisham. Throughout the 7 days, they would sprinkle on him from all the hatoris that were there. Again, maybe meaning that they mixed all of them together, they mixed ashes of all of them together. Maybe meaning that they mixed the ashes of Moshe Rabbeinu's one with the most recent one. Maybe that each day they would use a different one. Whatever the case. The Im Tomer, and the Braisa continues, you're going to ask, how is it the same thing that you're saying that there's Hazah each of the 7 days of the preparation? The Miluim Dam Hochamayim, because by the Miluim Moshe sprinkled them with blood, and now you're saying to sprinkle them with Parah Adumah water, which is not the same thing. Amarta, so you answer, as we said before, Nichnas Ramayim, Tachas Dam, water goes in and takes the place of blood. So yes, so you have the Hazah is the same as the same basic idea as was done by the Miluim. The Omer, and you also have, in fact, by the way, Tosfos points out that now we're going to learn later on. We're going to learn in more detail about this about this on Daf Ches, and the Gemara is going to explain. We don't actually sprinkle him every day because, in particular, we don't sprinkle him on Shabbos because the Gzeira did Abanon not to do Hazah on Shabbos. We talked about that in Masechta Pesachim. A couple of reasons why. So it's not exactly the same, but of course, during the time of the Miluim, there wasn't yet this Zera Dirabanan, so therefore, they literally could sprinkle him every day, whereas in future generations, yeah, we can't do it, we can't do it on Shabbos. Okay. Tosfos also says, actually, though, that this that we're saying, that Mayim goes instead of Dam, the implication is, Tosfos says, really this whole thing is only an Asmachta. If we were really learning from the Miluim, then we couldn't say that we substitute water for blood. Because it's only an Asmachta, then it's fine. A number of Mephoshim have a problem with that explanation of Tosfos, because there are implications. I mean, throughout the sugya, we seem to be saying that, at least according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Prisha and all the details of it when it comes to Yom Kippur are Daraisa. Therefore, we were talking about before, is it ma'akev, and we had to give a reason why not if it was dirabanan. Of course, that whole thing wouldn't apply. So there are mafarshim who say that it's not an asmach. There really is a true limud, and we are in fact saying that that all it is again before Beis Nissen, and they didn't have a parah adumah, so therefore of necessity they had to use blood, but afterwards they're able to use water. Okay, continues the Braisa of Omer, and we have the pasuk about the Miluim. Kasha also by Yemazer, as he did on this day, Tzivash, the first day of the Miluim, Tzivash Hashem lasas l'chaper aleichem, Hashem commanded you to do throughout the 7 days of the Miluim, and to do in future generations, l'chaper aleichem, to be a kapara for you. So again, like we said at the beginning of the Masechta, lasas elamaisi parah, l'chaper elamaisi yemakorim, from the words lasas and l'chaper, we're learning respectively, the Parah Adumah and Yom Kippur. Now, by the way, we did say, though, that that's not according to Rabbi Yochanan. So if we're trying to make this Braisa work according to Rabbi Yochanan, if we're not the other way around, if we're trying to say that this Braisa supports what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, then how do we have that detail? So a number of the Rishonim, the Ritva, and some others explain that, no, the Girsa should actually be Lastus Lachaper Elo Maisipara. Tosfos mentioned that earlier, that it should that they take out the words Elo Maisipara, or they say that Las, and then they say that the Gusa and the Brisa is supposed to be Lasis Lachaper Elo Maisi Yom Kippurim. The two words together, Lasis and Lachaper, teach us that before Yom Kippur he has to do the same thing. So therefore, so again, so that Brisa goes according to what Rabbi Yechon is saying, that we do in fact learn from the Miluim to Yom Kippur. Okay. So the Gemara asks, now, we started the Braisa by saying that when it says, Bezois Yavei Aaron HaKodesh, Bezois means to also take things from the Miluim and apply them to Yom Kippur. But the question is, V'hai Bezois Mibo Lelegufe? What do you mean? The word Bezois is needed to teach us that the things that it goes on to describe, that Aaron needs Pyre Bakar L'Chatas for Ayel Oila, that Aaron needs a Pyre for a Chatas and an Ayel for an Oila, and those are necessary prerequisites as Korbanos for him to be able to go into the Kodesh HaKodesh. So we need the word bezois to say exactly that. With this that we're going to say in the next pasuk means then he needs to go in. So how can you use the word bezois to learn that we bring things in from the Miluim? Amri, so they answered, E la korban l'chode, if the pasuk just meant the word bezois in order to teach us that the korban needs to be brought, lema kru bezeh, then the pasuk could say, instead of the word bezois, it could be bezeh, which is Lashon Zachar, the korbanos that we're talking about are male animals. So bezeh, with this, which is Lashon Zachar, would be more appropriate. Or be'ela, or with these in plural. My bezois, why zois which is Loshen Nekeva, which is feminine. That can't refer to the animal, to the animals. Shamat mina tauti. Therefore, we can learn both things from it. But yes, it means that he has to use these animals, that he has to bring these animals as korbanos. But it also means we need something of Loshen Nekeva to be brought in. And what is something of Loshen Nekeva? Prisha, which is the word Prisha, is Loshen Nekeva. It's feminine. So therefore, therefore you can learn from that. The Ritva points out, by the way, now there is a drosha. The Medrash mentions the idea that the Zois means that he comes in with the schus of a bunch of things on which it says Zois. The Jewish people are called Zois. The Torah is called Zois. Yerushalayim is called Zois, and so on and so forth. But the Ritva says very nice. That's a Medrash. Still, we have to understand on a pshat level what the word Bezois is coming for, and that's what the Gemara is supplying for us. Okay. The Gemara says, "My va'omer." Why, after we started by saying that from Bezois Yahweh Aaron, we learn that what we have to learn from the Miluim Tiyum Kippur, why do we need the Braisa to continue with the Pasuk of Kasha Asa Vayemazeh? The answer is, "V'chitema Yemek Kippurim Kamahu Debori Prisha." Because if you only had the first Pasuk, you would say, fine, the very first Yom Kippur, when Aaron is doing the Avoda, then he needs Prisha. K'dashkhan v'miluim, like we find by the Miluim. But you wouldn't know that the same thing is true of future Yom Kippurs in future years. Therefore, we need the second pasuk, inami, or another way of understanding. You could say kain god or kamo deboy prisha. Maybe only Aaron himself. Fine, throughout the 40 years in the desert, any time Aaron is doing the avodah of Yom Kippur, then he has to do prisha first. How do we know it applies to other avokayim gedolim ba'almaloi? How would we know that it applies to kohenim gedolim in future generations? Toshma kasha also v'goyim. For that, we need the second pasuk. Okay, and vice versa. We couldn't have had only the second pasuk, because again, then we might still think that it applies only to the Kohen Gadol of that time, or whatever. So therefore we need both psukim to make it clear that it applies in all Yom Kippurs and to all Kohenim Gadolim. Okay. So again, the bottom line is that Braisa supports how Rabbi Yochanan understands things, that we are in fact learning from the Miluim to Yom Kippur. Okay. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Kavasei de Rish Lakish. On the other hand, we learn a Braisa that goes according to Rish Lakish's understanding, that we learn from Har Sinai. The Braisa says, Moshe Ola Ba'onan, Moshe went up into the cloud, by Yovim Moshe B'Socha Onan, the Pasuk says, last Pasuk of Parashas Mishpatim. V'niskasa Ba'onan, he was covered with the cloud. V'niskadish Ba'onan, and he was made holy through the cloud. Kedil Kabel, totally, Sobek Kedusha, in order that he should receive the Torah for the Jewish people in a state of Kedusha. Shanema, as the Pasuk says, Vayishkan Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai, as the Pasuk says, the glory of Hashem, meaning the cloud of the Shekhinah, rested on Har Sinai. This and the Pasuk says, the Pasuk continues that the cloud rested on Har Sinai. The Pasuk continues, Vayichaseihu ha'onan sheishis yamim, that the cloud covered him or it for 6 days, and then Hashem called to Moshe on the seventh day. So according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, which is the first opinion in this Braisa, that means, as the Gemara is going to go on to explain, that it means this is 6 days after the Aseres Adibus. So the Torah was given on the 6th or 7th of Sivan. We have a machlokes about it in Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara is going to refer to it on Omud Beis. After that, for 6 days, Moshe is inside the cloud, getting ready. And then on the 7th day, Hashem calls him and starts teaching him the Torah. So therefore, says Zehal Yamaisa Acha Aseres Adibus. So Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, this happened after the Aseres HaDibros were given. So you have the whole Jewish people standing over there to receive the Aseres HaDibros. Which is, these 6 days are at the beginning of the 40 days. So therefore, so Rabbi Yosef Aglili, that's how Rabbi Yosef Aglili understands it. So therefore, now when you think about it, it means, in other words, if we're saying that there was Prisha, it can't have been before Matan Torah, because before Matan Torah, there's no time for Prisha. Every day, the Pasuk describes how Moshe is going up to Har Sinai and receiving such and such message from Hashem, and then going down and telling it to the Jewish people. So there's no time for Prisha. So it has to be that it was after the Aseres HaDibros that he goes in and has Prisha for 6 days in order to receive the luchos, and therefore we learn from that Daraisa, you need 6 days, and then we said we add a seventh day because of the concern that what if the Kohen Gadol's wife is a nida and he's going to be boil nida and is going to be tummy for 7 days. Now how exactly? Now we're going to continue the Braisa. We have several opinions in the Braisa, but Tosfos asks, where exactly do we see that this Braisa goes according to the Shlokish? After all, Rabbi Yossi Aglili's opinion, at least, could work even according to Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is not necessarily saying that we learn from that to future generations. He's just describing what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. He had 6 days of Prisha. Where do you see from that that we learn from that to Yom Kippur that you should need 6 or 7 days of Prisha? So Tosfos goes on. Tosfos gives an answer that because on Omid Beis we're going to have Rabbi Lazar, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan, and usually when Rabbi Lazar says something, it's in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, he says, rather like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, which is the next opinion in the Braisa, who understands the pasuk differently, therefore we can assume that Rabbi Yochanan also would agree with Rabbi Akiva, and therefore that means, of necessity, that means therefore that Rish Lakish agrees with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Gvura Sari argues with that and says, come on, that's a very doichik answer, and he gives a different answer that actually what it is we're not supporting Rish Lakish's opinion based on Rabbi Yossi Aglili's opinion, but rather on another opinion of Rabbi Nosson that we're going to have on Omid Beis in the continuation of the Braisa. Okay, so anyway, so again, Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that for a couple of things. First of all, he says that when it says Vaychasehu Ha'anon, it means not that the cloud covered Har Sinai, but that the cloud covered Moshe Rabbeinu. And number two, that the 6 days are not the 6 days before Matan Torah, but the first 6 days after it. Rabbi Akiva says no. Vayishkan Kvod Hashem means Meresh Chodesh, that it says that the glory of Hashem, the cloud rested on Har Sinai, is beginning from Meresh Chodesh, beginning from Meresh Chodesh Sivan, when they came to Har Sinai. Vayichaseu Ha'anan, when the pasuk continues, the cloud covered him, doesn't mean Moshe, it means Lahar, means that the cloud covered Har Sinai. So it's not that it covered Moshe. There's no prisha for Moshe. Again, during those 6 days before Matan Torah, there's no prisha because Moshe is busy running back and forth up and down Har Sinai to hear such and such from Hashem and report back to the Jewish people and then get the Jewish people's answer and report it back to Hashem and so forth. So there's no time for prisha. And after Matan Torah, Rabbi Akiva is holding, there's no prisha after that either. He goes right away up to Har Sinai the day after Matan Torah and starts receiving the Torah, starts learning the Torah from Hashem for 40 days. So Vayichaseu Ha'anan just means that the cloud covered Har Sinai for the 6 days before Matan Torah. So according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no prisha. Vayikra El Moshe, and the pasuk continues, he called to Moshe. So what does that mean? If according to Rabbi Akiva, it means that the next thing that happened is Matan Torah, what do you mean? Moshe b'chol Yisrael Omdin. Really, Moshe and all the Jewish people are standing over there. That Hashem didn't give the Torah only to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'loy bar kosov ela lachlet covered the Moshe. The pasuk is just coming to give honor to Moshe to make it sound as though he's the main one receiving the word from Hashem, even though in fact all the Jewish people received it from Hashem at the same time. On Noichi v'layilach we heard mipi agvura, we heard directly from Hashem's mouth. And you have the famous thing that the Rambam says, that we don't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu because of the Oisus and Moifsim, but because we all stood there by Har Sinai and heard with our own ears and saw with our own eyes that the Eibishter is telling Moshe to tell us such and such as mitzvahs. So anyway, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no prisha, and the 6 days is not after Matan Torah, but before it. And Vayichasehu doesn't mean that the cloud covered him, Moshe, means the cloud covered it, the mountain. Okay, another opinion, Rav Nostanimer, Loi Barakosov Elal Marak Achilosh Siashameyav. The Pasuk is coming. Rav Nosson does hold, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that there had to be Prisha for Moshe, but he's saying not so much in order to learn from it that whenever you go into Machne Shchini, you need Prisha, but rather Loi Barakosov Elal Marak Achilosh Siashameyav. The Pasuk is only coming. Why did Moshe have to have 6 days of preparation before entering Machne Shchina? Not that you need that in future generations, but just in Moshe's particular case, because he's going to be going in and learning Torah directly from the Eibishter, so that he wanted 6 days to clean out the food and drink that's left in his stomach, so that his stomach is completely empty, to make him like a malachim who don't need to eat and drink. So therefore, in other words, Rabbi Nosson is saying, in other words, that this prisha was not something that we learned from it for future generations. Rather, it was a one-off. It was a one-off thing specifically for Moshe before he goes to learn Torah from Hashem. So you can't learn from it for future generations. So here the Gvura Sari has a long explanation and says that after all, we don't have to understand Rabbi Nosson that way. we could say that Rav Nosson is saying that because we find that by Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore, fine, okay, by the Kohen Gadol, we don't have exactly that. Obviously, he's eating and drinking during those 7 days, but nevertheless, as sort of a zecher for that, we have the Kohen Gadol go do prisha for 6 days or 7 days in the end, and therefore, therefore, Rav Nosson's opinion would support what Rish Lakish is saying that we do learn from Matan Torah. And then a fourth opinion, Rav Masi ben Chorosh Omer, Rav Masi ben Chorosh also agrees with Rav Yosef Aglili that Moshe had Prisha, but again, Rav Masi ben Chorosh is saying not necessarily because he's going into, not necessarily just because he's going into Machna Shechina, but Loi Bar Kosev Elo Ayam Olav, the Pasuk is coming only to make Moshe fearful, in other words, that he should have aim of a Yira before he goes into Machna Shechina and realize that he should go in there with the proper frame of mind. Kadesh Tate Nerd, Kadesh Tate Turda Nitenet, so that the Torah should be given with awe and with fear and with trembling and with movement. In other words, so that's why Moshe had to have that prisha of 6 days in order to impress that idea into his mind. But not necessarily that in the future when the Kohen Gadol is not coming to receive the Torah, the Kohen Gadol is coming in, and he's going into Machna Shechina, fine, but not necessarily does it have to be Be'ema B'yiru V'Resus of Aziyah to that extent that he should need prisha before it. So according to that, the Prisha could be completely, according to that, the Prisha is not necessarily learned from Har Sinai. It could be, like we said before, Maila Ba'alma, that we just do it as a special thing in honor of the fact that he's going into Machna Shechina, but not necessarily that we actually learn it, that it's a requirement, Daraisa. Okay. And Shenema, where do we see that the Torah has to be given in such a frame of mind? As the passage says, Ivdu as Hashem b'yira, serve Hashem in fear, v'gilu b'rada, and rejoice in trembling. So, my v'gilu b'rada, what does that mean, rejoice in trembling? Amarav, adab amasna, amarav, b'mkoyim gila, sham tehera ada. In the place of the joy, there should be trembling. Tosfos brings a different passage that we say in Hoidu. Oiz v'chedva b'mkoyim, in Hashem's place, there's strength, where also oiz refers to the Torah, which is called oiz, and so Tosfos is saying, where do we see that Torah is associated with joy because it says Oiz v'chedva b'mkoyim? Rashi brings a different passage, Pikudi Asherim Mishnayim Sam Chelev. So when you're receiving the Torah, there's tremendous joy, but because of Ivdu as Hashem Yira v'gilu b'rada, there also has to be fear and trembling at the same time. So actually, Marshal says we don't have to say that Rav Nosson, who's saying that the purpose of the 6 days was to clean out the food in Moshe's inside, that necessarily he has to be like Rav Yochanan, like Rav Yosef Aglili, he could actually be like Rav Akiva, when we said on the seventh day Hashem called Moshe before he called the rest of the Jewish people, as the Gemara is going to say later on in the Amud, the reason was in order that at that time he should be able to finish cleaning himself out, and at that point he should have Ema, Yira, Resus, and Zia, not necessarily that he needs 6 days in order to have that. Okay, so the bottom line is you have opinions in this Braisa, the opinion of Rav Yosef Aglili according to Tosfos, the opinion of Rav Nosson, and maybe of Rav Masi ben Chorosh according to the Gvuras Ari, that supports what Rish Lakish is saying, that we learn from Har Sinai to the Kohen Gadol. Okay. The Gemara says, "My komiftigir Rav Yosef Aglili Rav Akiva." So, what's the underlying machloikas? What proof are Rav Yosef Aglili and Rav Akiva bringing, respectively, for what they say? Usually, by the way, "b'may komiftigi" means what's the underlying logic that they're arguing on? Here, it means a little bit differently. It actually says it means what proofs are they respectively bringing, Rav Yosef Aglili that the 6 days are after Matan Torah, and Rav Akiva that they're before Matan Torah. So the answer is Beplugtah Dehani Tanoi. They're arguing based on the Machlokes Tanoim, what day of Sivan was the Torah given? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, we learn this in the Sechta Shabbos, B'shisha b'chodesh nitna the Torah l'Yisrael. The Torah was given, according to the Tanakhama, to the Jewish people, the Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan. Rabbi Yossi, I'm a B'shiva boy. Rabbi Yossi says it wasn't the sixth, it was the seventh. So therefore, Manda Omer B'shisha. So therefore, the opinion that says that it was given on the 6th of Sivan, then Vashisha Nitna or Vashiva Allah. Then what it means is the Torah was given on the 6th, and the next day, the 7th of Sivan, Moshe went up to Har Sinai to receive the rest of the Torah. you have the line over here in the Gemara by Yikra Moshe by Yemashvi, Marsha takes out that line because it's not really relevant. The point is that Bayamashvi, again, over there doesn't refer to the seventh day of the month. It means that on the seventh day, well, I mean, it does, but we don't really need that because everybody agrees that he went up on the seventh. The question is, do the 6 days refer to before or after Matan Torah? So we don't really, and the previous part of the pasuk mentions that the cloud covered it for 6 days. So it's not really relevant to mention the pasuk Vayikra Moshe Vayimashvi, says Marsha. On the other hand, Agoris Abach finds a reason to put it in. It does mean that on the day after the Aseres HaDibros, then he went up. Okay. So that's according to one opinion. Manda Amma B'Shiva, whereas according to the opinion that the Torah was given on the seventh, B'Shiva Nitno, B'Shiva Ola, then he went up on the seventh, and then the Torah was given on the seventh, and later that same day he went up to Har Sinai for the 40 days. Tichtiv Ayikra Moshe B'Mashvi, as the pasuk says that Hashem called out to Moshe on the seventh day. There, according to that opinion, it makes sense to bring in this pasuk because there it's stressing the point that Moshe went up on the same day of Matan Torah. So now let's figure out how that works with the machloikas of Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yosef Aglili sovel a katana kama. So now Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds a katana kama. He holds that the Torah was given on the sixth day. Hilkach zeho yamaisa achar says the Debris. Therefore, necessarily, we can't say that the 6 days that the 6 days refers to before Matan Torah, because the Torah itself is being given on the sixth day. So the 6 days and the seventh day, but said, what's on the seventh day? On the seventh day already Moshe Rabbein, on the sixth day, the Torah is already given. So therefore it has to be Zeho Yamaisa Achar Aseres HaDibros. So it has to be that the 6 days when the cloud covered means after the Aseres HaDibros, that's when Vayishkun Koyed Hashem al Har Sinai, when the glory of Hashem, the cloud, rested on Har Sinai, by Chaseo Ha'an and Sheshes Yamim, and then when it says the cloud covered him for 6 days, meaning him, Moshe Rabbeinu, L'Moshe, by Yikra, Moshe, by Yamashvi, and then it continues, he called Moshe on the seventh day, meaning the Kabbalah Shau Torah, to receive the rest of the Torah. Because we have to say that way, Rabbi Yosef Lili says, if you're going to rather try to understand the pasuk, that it means that the glory of Hashem rested there beginning from Rosh Chodesh. And then the Onan covered the mountain for 6 days, and then Vayikra Moshe Vayimashvi, and you're going to say that he called to Moshe on the seventh day, and you're going to say that means the Kabbalah Yaseres HaDibros to receive the Yaseres HaDibros. What do you mean? Kabbalah HaMashisha. They already received the Yaseres HaDibros the day before. And the cloud already, according to Rabbi Yosef, there's no reason to assume that the cloud continued to be on the mountain after Matan Torah. The Pashtus, we can assume that the cloud was no longer covering the mountain, and only there was a cloud for Moshe that he's going to go and be purified in, like we said on Amud Aleph. So Rabbi Yosef Lili says, necessarily, therefore, the 6 days and the seventh day have to be after Matan Torah, and what it means is that after Matan Torah, when Moshe went up, he had 6 days of Prisha, and then on the seventh day, Hashem called him, I want to start teaching you the rest of the Torah. Okay. Rabbi Akiva Savalak Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Akiva, meanwhile, holds like Rabbi Yosef in the Gemara and Shabbos over there. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yosef Aglili, by the way, are two different Tanoim. Rabbi Yosef is usually Rabbi Yosef ben Halafta. Rabbi Yosef Aglili is a different Tanoim. Anyway, so Rabbi Akiva holds that Rabbi Yosef like Rabbi Yosef ben Halafta over there in the Gemara. Drama b'shiva b'chodesh nitna Torah l'Yisrael. He holds that Matan Torah took place on the seventh day of Sivan. So therefore, very simple, you can say the 6 days and the seventh day referred to before Matan Torah. 6 days that the cloud covered the mountain, and then on the seventh day, Hashem called Moshe, and as we said, it wasn't just Moshe, he called the whole Jewish people and gave them the Aseres HaDibros. But he called Moshe first, and the pasuk makes it sound like he called only to Moshe in order to give honor to Moshe. So we understand now why Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Akiva understand the pasukim differently, because it's based on this fundamental machlokas, what day of the month did Matan Torah take place? So the Gemara says, Bishleima l'Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that the Torah was given on the 7th, and then Moshe went up that day, and according to him, there's no prisha needed. Right away on that day, Zayin Sivan, Moshe starts learning the Torah from the Eibishter, and he's there for 40 days. That's how it works out that the Shiva Asvatam was the Shtaber al Luchas, that we know on Shiva Asvatam was the Luchas were broken. What's the schedule? Because we have, according to Rabbi Akiva, Esrin Rabbah de Sivan, you have 24 days of Sivan. Sivan has 30 days. So therefore, if he went up on the 7th, then counting from the 7th through the 30th, you've got 24 days. The Shitzer de Tammuz, then you've got 16 days of Tammuz. Molohu la bon yom adav bahar, that's the 40 days. Now, what happened was, we know that the Jewish people made a mistake. They thought that he's going to be back by Chatzos on the 16th, and then when he didn't, then they panicked and made the Egel. Meanwhile, what he really meant was it's going to be 40 days, he's going to be 40 days, so he went up on Har Sinai in the middle of the day on the 7th, because again, according to Rabbi Akiva, Matan Torah was at the beginning of the day, in the morning on that day, and then later that day, he went up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. So therefore, it has to be from hour to hour, Mesles, so he went up there, Chatzos, on the 7th, so therefore, in other words, you have really from Chatzos Hayom of the 7th until the end of Sivan is 23 and a half days, and then the next day, then in the next month, you're going to need 16 and a half days. So he was scheduled to come down in the middle of the day on Shiva Asvatamuz. They messed up and thought he was going to come back on the 16th because they thought it just means the 40th day. And then of a Shiv Sibat Tammuz Nochis, so he came down, sure enough, on the 17th of Tammuz, saw that they're worshipping the Egel, for also the Tavurin of the Luchas, and then he went and broke the Luchas. So according to Rabbi Akiva, we understand how it happened. El Rabbi Yisrael Glili, Mashish Deprisha, Vaboyin Dahar, according to Rabbi Yisrael Glili, though, the Gemara is assuming at this point that he had to have 40 full days of learning the Torah from the Eivishter. And if that means you have to have 6 days of Prisha before it, then you're 6 days off. According to Rabbi Yisrael Glili, if you have 6 days of Prisha and then 40 days on Har Sinai, Ad Esrin Reklas, the time was like Meluchas. Then you have to move everything off 6 days. Then it comes out that they made the Egel on Chaf Beis Tammuz, and Moshe broke the Luchas on Chaf Gimel Tammuz. And we know it's not so. The answer is Amalachar Beis Aglili, Aboin Dahar, Bahadi Shisha de Prisha. The answer is Rabbi Yisrael Glili is going to say that no, the 40 days that Moshe was on Har Sinai includes the 6 days of Prisha. In other words, he had 6 days of Prisha when he's not yet learning Torah from the Eivishter, he's just preparing for that. Then he had another 34 days when he's learning the Torah from the Eivishter. So therefore, it still works out the same schedule as Rabbi Akiva. He went up there in the middle of the day on the 7th, and he came down in the middle of the day on the 17th of Tammuz, 40 days later. By the way, there's a sefer on Shulchan Aruch called Mate Moshe that deals with the sources of a lot of Minhagim. He mentions when we call up the Kohen to the Torah, the Gabbai says the Yazar, etc., and then we answer Baruch Shanasan Torah La'ama Yisrael B'Kushasai. That has six words in it corresponding to these 6 days of Prisha that we're saying Moshe Rabbeinu needed over here. And he mentions also a nusach that some people said at that time that mentioned a couple of psukim from the Torah where there were 40 words in it corresponding to the 40 days on Har Sinai. In our nuschos, we don't have that. Anyway, okay, so there's no question from that. Okay, next, Omamar, we said in a Braisa, we said before that according to Rabbi Akiva, when it says Vayikra El Moshe, this isn't the Vayikra from the beginning of Chumash Vayikra, by the way, this is the Vayikra El Moshe from the end of Parshas, Mishpatim. Again, the pasuk that we quoted before, that the cloud of Hashem rested on Har Sinai, and covered it or him, depending on how you learn the Vayichaseu, for 6 days, and he called to Moshe. So we said, according to Rabbi Akiva, what it means is the cloud covered the mountain for the 6 days before Matan Torah, and then on the 7th day, Hashem called to Moshe, and really we said it wasn't only to Moshe, all the Jewish people are standing over there. So Omamar, Vayikra Moshe, we said, according to Rabbi Akiva, he called to Moshe, meaning Moshe v'chol Yisrael Oim, then really Moshe and the whole Jewish people are standing there, because all the Jewish people received the Torah together. So why does it single out Moshe? But like, Barkos of Elo L'chalak, like covered the Moshe, the Pasuk is coming only to give honor to Moshe, to make it sound like Hashem is addressing him personally, or like Hashem addressed him ahead of everybody else. Okay. So the Gemara says, basically, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, the Pasuk said that now you have a Pasuk at the end of the last Pasuk of Parshas Nasai that says that when Moshe would go into the Oyel Moed, by Yishma Sakom Yidaber Elov, he would hear the voice speaking to him. Now, the Pasuk could have said, Koil Loi. The Pasuk could have said, Vayishma Sakol Midaber Loi, that he heard the voice speaking to him. Instead of the word Loi, it says Koil Elov. So therefore, it means Moshe Shama, V'chol Yisrael Loi Shamu. It means Moshe heard the voice of Hashem, but the rest of the Jewish people did not hear. So we see, in other words, that so we see that when Hashem is speaking to Moshe, the whole rest of the Jewish people don't hear. So why are we saying over here that it means that when Hashem Vayikra El Moshe means that he's calling to Moshe and all the Jewish people are standing there and hear it as well? How exactly, by the way, does Kol Loi versus Kol Elov mean that it was uniquely to Moshe Rabbeinu? There's a few different explanations that there's a few different explanations that the various Mefoshim bring. One explanation is the Ritva brings that it actually says twice in the Pasuk Elov. It says Vayishma Sakel Midaber Elov, and the last words of the Pasuk are Vayidaber Elov. So the Gemara is saying, fine, one of them we need Lagufa to say that Hashem spoke to him. The other one we're doubting, and that it means he spoke exclusively to him. That's one explanation. There's a couple of other ones. Another one is that from one of them we're saying it was not even to Aaron, and the other one is saying not to the rest of the Jewish people. There's another point also which the Ran makes in his drushes, having to do with Dikduk of Lashon Kodesh. The letters Aleph and Yud are vowel letters in Lashon Kodesh. They don't always represent a consonant. Sometimes they represent a vowel, and therefore like they intensify the word. Like it could have just said Koil without those. It could have just said Loi without those. Instead it adds an Aleph and a Yud, vowel letters, to imply like non-spoken letters, so to speak. To imply that there's something unspoken to the rest of the Jewish people, it's uniquely to Moshe. So again, so we see that when Hashem calls to Moshe, it's only for Moshe's ears, not for the Jewish people. So what are you telling me that by Matan Torah, everybody is standing there and listening? The answer is, Loi Kasha Hobas Sinai Hobas Oyomoyed. One's talking about on Har Sinai, then everybody heard. The other one's talking about an Oyomoyed, where it's only addressed to Moshe, and only Moshe hears it. The Boris Emma Loikasha, another possibility you can say is there's also no contradiction. Both of them are talking about in Oyamoyed. Loikasha Hava Kriya Hava Dibu. One is the calling to Moshe, and the other one is the speaking. Meaning, by Har Sinai, it was both. Hashem called Moshe and then spoke to him, but he's also calling, and all the Jewish people are hearing it. As the Rambam writes over there in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, that the Jewish people hear Hashem saying, Moshe, go tell them such and such Dibra. So on the other hand, with Oyomoyed, the Jewish people heard Hashem calling Moshe, but they didn't hear the content of what Hashem actually spoke to Moshe until, of course, Moshe went and told it over to them. So that reconciles it that yes, by Matan Torah, all of them heard it, but either by Oyomoyed they didn't hear anything at all, or even by Oyomoyed they heard Hashem calling to Moshe, but not the actual content of what Hashem told Moshe. Okay, the Gemara continues. Reb Zrika Romi Kroi Kamed Reb Elazar. Reb Zrika pointed out in front of Reb Elazar a seeming contradiction in the Pesukim. Va'amila Amr Reb Zrika Reb Elazar Romi, or others say that it's not Reb Zrika asked the question, but rather Reb Zrika pointed out that Reb Elazar asked the question. Ksiv V'lo Yochel Moshe Lavel Oyomoyed Kishachan Alavana. The Pesuk says that Moshe at the end of Chumash Mois, that Moshe couldn't go into Oyomoyed because the cloud rested on it. But then you have by Mount Torah, it says that Moshe came into the cloud. So what is it? Is Moshe able to go in where there's a cloud of the Shekhinah or not? So the answer is Milamach Tofse Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe VeHaviyei Ba'anan. This teaches us that. I skipped several lines over here. Sorry. Omamav, Vayikra Moshe, Moshe v'chol Yisrael Omdin. We said when he called to Moshe, Moshe and all the Jewish people are standing. Messiah, Leila Rabbi Lazar, that opinion in the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva supports Rabbi Lazar, to Omar Rabbi Lazar, that it means the same thing. Vayikra Moshe means Moshe v'chol Yisrael Omdin, means everybody is standing over there. V'lai Barkas of Lach, Ela Lachlok, and covered Moshe, the Pasuk is only coming to give honor to Moshe. Tosfos asked him, what do you mean? Okay, we support Rabbi Lazar. You have four different opinions in the Braisa. Not all of them are according to Rabbi Akiva. Tosfos says, okay, maybe we know how Loch Rabbi Akiva Mechaveri, then therefore if we have four opinions in the Braisa, and one of them is Rabbi Akiva, then we can say that that Braisa as a whole supports Rabbi Elazar. Okay, anyway, again, the Gemara says, Mesvi Kol Loi Kol Elov, that is could have said Kol Loi, and it says Kol Elov, meaning Moshe Shama V'Chol Yisrael Loi Sham, only Moshe heard, the rest of the Jewish people did not. And the answer is, again, Loi Kasha, Hoba Sinai, Hoba Oyomoyed, one's talking about on Har Sinai, the other Oyomoyed, Har Sinai, they heard everything, Oyomoyed, they didn't. The Boris Ema, or another possibility is even within Oyomoyed, like Kasha, Hoba Kriya, Hoba Diver. One's talking about the calling to Moshe, saying Moshe's name, the other one is actually just speaking, yeah. So the Gemara says, Reb Zvika Romi Kroi Kameder Reb Elazar. Reb Zvika pointed out in front of Reb Elazar a contradiction in the Pesukim. Ba'amila Reb Zvika Reb Elazar, Omer Reb Zvika Reb Elazar Rabbi. Others say the other way around. Reb Zvika says that Reb Elazar asked the question. Ksiv la'yachol Moshe lovei al oil moed. It says that Moshe couldn't come into oil moed kishachan olav anon because the cloud had rested on the oil moed. Uchtiv ayovim Moshe v'secha anon. Then it says that Moshe came into the cloud. So which is it? The answer is Malamach Tofsa Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Moshe Vehviyabon. This teaches us that Hashem, so to speak, grabbed a hold of Moshe Rabbeinu and took him into the cloud. So yes, Moshe on his own couldn't go in, which is at the end of Parshas Pekodei, but here Hashem grabbed him and brought him in. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, on the other hand, in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned to brise it differently. How did Moshe go through? Nemakan besoich, v'nem lahalan besoich. Here the pasuk says that Moshe went besoich ha'onon, doesn't mean into the cloud. You just like you have, when it says besoich, v'yavoyu b'nei Yisrael, besoich hayom. When it says the Jewish people went besoich, the sea, doesn't mean they went into the water, it means that the sea split. Malahalan shvil, over there was a path for them. The water was like walls for them on both sides. Afkan shvil, the same way over here, it means that Hashem opened up a path for Moshe, that Hashem opened up a path for Moshe through the cloud, and Moshe was able to walk in. Okay. By the way, when we said before that in the Oyo Moed, the voice went to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the rest of the Jewish people didn't hear, Rashi mentions on the Pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, that what happened was the voice was just as powerful as the voice on Har Sinai. It's not like it was a weak voice that you couldn't hear outside the Oyo Moed. It was a powerful voice, but it stopped by the entrance of the Oyo Moed so that Moshe was inside there can hear it, and the rest of the people who are outside can't. There's a sicha where that ever talks about the deeper idea behind it. Means the voice when the Eibishter teaches mitzvahs in the future is always just as powerful. Don't think the Eibishter is not giving us the same instructions always. But on the other hand, outside the Oyo Moed, you live in the wider world. You have bechira chafshis. You can choose. Unfortunately, a person can choose to not listen to the Eibishter, to ignore that voice that's inside Oyo Moed. You have to make the conscious choice to accept what Hashem is saying with that voice, as opposed to if it actually went out to everywhere, then there'd be no bechira because then a person would automatically be hearing what the Eibishter is saying, and of course he would do it. Okay. We said in the pasuk Vayikra Moshe Vaydaber. So now let's talk about another pasuk, the first pasuk of Parshas Vayikra, of Chumash Vayikra, that says that Hashem called to Moshe and spoke. So Lama Hikim Kriya Ladibur. So why does it first mention that Hashem called and then Hashem spoke? It means Limda Torah Derech Eretz. The Torah thereby is teaching you a proper way of behaving. Shalayema Adam Davala Chavera Elim Ken Kareu. Don't speak to somebody else unless you first call him by name, like this, you're asking him permission. Can I say something to you? So Hashem, so to speak, asked permission from Moshe by first calling his name, and then when Moshe acknowledged, then the Eibishter started telling him. That supports what Rav Chanina says. Rav Chanina says the same thing. So you see from this braisa that that's how it is. Also, the pasuk continues, lamer. The pasuk continues that Hashem told the Moshe to say. So what does that word lamer add? It means minayin la'odah. Different geuses over here with the exact name of the amoda, which is why it's in parenthesis. Whatever. Anyway, so minayin la'omer davar l'chaveri. How do we know that if one person says something to somebody else, shehu b'val yomer, the person to whom it was told has an obligation not to say over to somebody else, ad sheyomer leich emer, unless the person who told him says go ahead and tell it to others. Shenemer, as we see, the pasuk says vaydaber Hashem elav ma'omer lamer. In other words, the word lamer. So there's two things. Number one, the word lamer, we're dashing as we break it up into loy emer, meaning you're not to say, meaning unless I tell you otherwise, you're not to tell it over. It's for your ears only. So in this case, Hashem gave, in this case, and with many other mitzvahs, Hashem gave Moshe permission to tell it to the Jewish people with the word lamer, therefore he can say it. But were it not for that, then we would learn from that Moshe was supposed to keep it to himself. And we can imagine, during the 40 years, there must have been a lot of times when the Eibishter tells Moshe something personally, which is not meant for everybody else to know. Moshe was a Navi, after all. Besides that, his job is to teach us the Torah. He received Nevuahs for other purposes as well. And those Pashtus were meant only for his ears, so by them you don't have lamer. A different explanation, Marashal says, is the word lemer itself means, it means to say. So in other words, if it only said, Vaidaber Hashem Elav Me'oymoyed, it would mean Hashem spoke to him in Oymoyed, and he doesn't have permission to tell it over. The word lemer means to go tell it over to the Jewish people. So that's what it means. We learn from that word, lamer, in one way or the other, that if somebody tells you something, you're not to tell it over to somebody else without permission. The Chofetz Chaim talks about that as a matter of halacha. First of all, we're not saying this is really a halacha. We're saying it's derech eretz. It's a proper way of doing. But he says, first of all, maybe we're only talking about something that is likely to harm the other person, or something uncomfortable or embarrassing or whatever. Maybe stam, if the guy is telling you something where there's no reason to worry about that, maybe you would indeed be allowed to tell it over without permission. Or he says, another possibility might be if the person like takes you into a private area to tell it to you. So then it shows that he's machmir, that he wants to keep it a secret. But if, let's say, somebody is telling you something in public, and there's no particular embarrassing or personal thing about it for himself, nothing that's going to cause him a financial loss or whatever, like telling his business secrets, maybe you would be allowed to tell it, even without getting permission from him. In the same vein, he says also that the Gemara mentions that if three people know about something that's not considered Lashon Hara anymore, but he says by the same token, if the Rambam writes halacha, that if you're meaning to tell it over further and make the Lashon Hara more known, then you're not allowed to, even in that case. So similarly over here, even though two people already know it and are blabbing it, you, the third person, have no right to without permission from the person you heard it from.